Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Peter Gammons, MLB Network Analyst.
Around the pole and gone!
Taking you inside Major League Baseball with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman kind enough to sit in this morning, and we're delighted to welcome in Peter Gammons. He joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline, Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Peter, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I still wake up in the morning sometimes and think, now, how does an owner have a team with Mike Trout, Ohtani, and Rendon and not want to play? But, you know, you know, somebody brought up a great point to me yesterday. Actually, it was two different players at two different times brought this up. And so how many owners do you really see ever on the field, around players, you know, just enjoy not only the game, but players? Because actually, you know, I've watched baseball not for statistics or not for some of the goofy reasons we're told we should. I watch it because of the players. I don't care about double switches. They said, you know, they brought that up, and I think it's a really value. I mean, obviously the guy in Philadelphia is tremendous and loves the game and is out there, but you don't see many owners that go down on the field and have fun with it. Bud Selig did in his day when he was owner of the Brewers. Plus, he used to ramble back and forth in the press box. I mean, he was hysterical. But Bud had a remarkable feel for the game and the people who play the game. Right down to, I remember when B.J. Surhoff was a good friend of mine, had decided to leave the Brewers as a free agent and go to the Baltimore Orioles. He said to me, please don't use this. Don't get it out until I'll call you when it's time. And I said, what's the matter? He said, I'm driving into the ballpark in Milwaukee. I have to tell Bud Selig face to face before there's any news about my leaving, because he's been such a friend to players and such a great friend of mine. And I thought, you know, that tells me a lot about Bud. I'm not sure how many players around Major League Baseball today would be saying, no, I don't want my agent announcing. I don't want it announced until I go in and tell my owner face-to-face. And I think part of the division we see right now, where Rob Manfred thinks he has a deal and then he gets discouraged after talking to the owners, I think people underestimate a little bit how difficult Manfred's job is, but having that feel for players and still being able to control the owners is a really difficult task. I think more difficult in many ways than what Tony Clark has.
You know, over the course of baseball history, the game has been so resilient when it comes to work stoppages, and the game has bounced back. But it does seem as though this is some sort of tipping point. What are the long-term ramifications, Peter, of what's taking place right now?
I mean, you're making a great point. And I think one is that our owners and players and agents all ready for the reality that this is not just about baseball. We're in a health crisis in this country, and as we see by another absolutely idiotic governor in Florida. Now, Florida is now becoming the most dangerous place on the earth, next to Arizona, which has as many people hospitalized for COVID-19 as the state of New York. The open it up, let's be popular, let's try to win an election, to hell with people's lives, it may drag us out to a point where the economics of the sport are not very good for a couple of years. I've been saying from the beginning, what everybody should be doing is trying to figure out how do you want baseball to look in 2023? Because I believe that's the first year of the new normal. But I think that there's going to be a lot of wrestling and jello fighting in the next, right up till the agreement is finally, the basic agreement is signed in 2021. I really worry about how much it, how ugly it gets, and how much fans just get sick and tired of it. I mean, we don't get that in the NBA. It's a little different of football because football is entirely an owner's league. I personally think the NBA is the best because it's clearly a player's league. And that's what people pay to see. But I'm really worried about where they go with some of their really great players. And what you say, I have strongly believed, and I'm Joe Torre is an old friend of mine, and I really respect him. I agree with him that 1998, the Yankees were the best modern team. But they didn't bring baseball back. McGuire and Sosa, the most important person in bringing baseball back for the strike of 94-95 was Cal Ripken. Because he became America's most popular athlete after a fight over money. Millionaires, billionaires, what we all use as a cliche. Cal Ripken just wanted to go back and go to work every day, and his going to that streak was really just a symbol of, hey, here's a guy that that this is a baseball player, a great baseball player, who just wants to carry his lunch pail to the ballpark and go play every day. And how he did it by signing autographs until 1:30 in the morning so many times after games, and how kind he was. I mean, the night Bill Clinton's doing the game with Chris Berman when Cal Ripken breaks the record, when they unfurl the flag. And I remember, so I was at ESPN. I was going to do an ESPN Sunday night conversation with Cal. He was there at the ballpark at 8 o'clock the next morning to do the conversation with him. I mean, and I really believe that he's, I believe because of that, he ranks as one of the 10 to 12 most important players of all time. And we need to be able to have a couple of players right away stand up and speak. Mike Trout is the perfect guy, but Mike is uneasy in that role. I would not be surprised if we're looking for somebody between Clayton Kershaw and Bryce Harper that we don't have someone who can come back. I think each one of those guys, somebody said to me, oh, is Bryce Harper going to do what Cal Ripken did? No, but he got one of the two largest contracts in baseball history and immediately played more innings in right field than anybody in baseball.
Peter, what kind of a nightmare is Rob Manfred having? It just seems like for a while now, everything he does, everything he says is going pear-shaped. I mean, this guy, you know, talked about the piece of metal. Now, apologize for it, but people keep bringing it up. The whole thing with the Astros and the stealing scandal, the sign-stealing scandal, and Jim Crane had nothing to do with any of it, and people look at that askew.
And
this,
you know what?
Letter with the Yankees. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, when you talk about the people, I think vastly underrate how important the whole Houston scandal is, and to owners particularly, and to players too. I mean, when they wanted to rush to get the instant replay, They did it without really understanding how clubhouses work, where the equipment was. I mean, there was. I had a lot of people say to me, "There's something really bad's going to happen with this because they don't understand it." And they instituted instant replay without understanding how clubhouses work. I mean, you know, I mean, I could. My buddy Pookie in the Boston clubhouse, the assistant, he could have told them how to set the thing up, but they were paying people a lot of money who had no clue. And that's what came out of this. Yeah, I blame Houston. You know, I completely agree with you about not punishing Jim Crane. But on the other hand, the commissioner's office instituted something that they really ballyhooed, and it was done with, unfortunately, incompetence that went with good intentions.
Peter, how is this going to play out? Knowing what you know, the people that you talk to, what kind of season are we going to have in 2020?
I think by Monday they work this whole thing out. And again, I think that we've overlooked a little bit how complex the whole pandemic issue is in both sides coming back. I mean, not only not having fans in the stands, but players worrying about things. And there's so much there. What's going to happen if two players on a team test positive for COVID-19? I mean, it's maybe it will be over. There'll be an overreaction, but you can't blame people for overreacting. We all know that people have died from it, and the whole health issue is so vital, and yet getting the game back on the field is so vital. But I hear this all the time from friends of mine. It might be at the market. It might be at the hardware store or whatever. People who live in my small town who are baseball fans, but they're put off. And that is the owners of players are fighting over 3 months worth of money, of revenues, salaries. This is this could be a 2 year. This could be a 2 year crisis in this country, and 25% of the people in the country are out of work. That may increase this winter. Who knows? And there's the average fan, and I don't know how you guys find it, but I find the average fan says they're so worried about you know whatever it is that they're going to lose in terms of salary for 3 months. And revenues for 3 months, that they're overlooking the grief of the rest of the country. I know people here in my town, they drive 70 miles to go to a Red Sox game, and they have to pay $100 for parking. Well, they're not that sympathetic to either side here. And I think it's a problem for baseball to stop. They've got to learn to all focus together on how do we get into 2023 with a new normal, which is entirely positive.
What is Scott Boras' role in all this, Peter? We keep hearing reports that he is the man who's, you know, basically rejected this most recent deal and is a driving force behind the scenes. Is that accurate?
I don't know if he's a driving force. He picked a lawyer. He may be a great lawyer, but he has no experience in this negotiation. I mean, the reason that the players kicked the owners behind 94-95 was that Don Fehr and Gene Orza and Michael Weiner have been doing all this for years, and they had much more experience than Rob Manfred in his third year and some of the other lawyers that they brought in. And I think it's been a problem. There isn't a lot of experience in the Players Association. I think there's a lot of well-meaning and intention, but there's a big difference between how you negotiate player contracts in a good economy and how you negotiate basic agreements in a bad economy and coming out of a very good economy. And I think that I've read a lot of Scott's proposals, and some of them make sense, some of them don't. Playing into the end of November was fantasy. But you have to have the experience on exactly what that is. In 95, for instance, Tom Seaver wins his 300th game in New York, and the next day the players went on strike. And I see that 85. That strike lasted, I think, one day or 2 days, because Orza and Fear knew all the players weren't behind them. There was a group of Red Sox players who were really, they basically had come out against the union. They knew that they might, they gave up a year in the salary arbitration process. They gave the owners something major because they had to avoid that strike that year. And, you know, and it was successful. I mean, it was also a comical negotiation because everybody took the negotiations to a place where Peter Ueberroth couldn't find them. So they didn't get Ueberroth's ego involved in the negotiation. Lee McPhail did the deal and not Ueberroth.
Hey, Peter, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend.
Okay, well, I'm just I'm sitting here wondering when am I going to see my first Giolito start?
Oh, you're not alone in that one. Thanks so much, Peter. That is Peter
Gammons. Thank you very much.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.